Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Lords Chloro-Alkali Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Smit Shah from Adfactors PR for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q4 and FY26 results conference call of Lords Chloro-Alkali Limited. We have with us Mr. Ajay Virmani, Managing Director. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that certain statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve certain risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the Q4 and FY26 results presentation that has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and website. I now hand over the call to Ajay, sir, to begin the proceedings. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Smit. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ajay Virmani, Managing Director of Lords Chloro-Alkali Limited, and I welcome you to Q4 results and the FY26 earnings call. I'm pleased to report that the FY26 has been a landmark year for Lords Chloro-Alkali Limited. The hard work and disciplined execution across our operations have translated into strong financial outcomes that reflect the structural improvements we have been building over the last one or two years. Our total income for FY26 stood at 393.1 crores, a growth of 44.62% year-on-year, and our profit after tax for the full year reached 28.49 crores. This is PAT, which represents a growth of 360.9% over FY25. These numbers reflect the power of operating leverage when volume growth is combined with cost discipline. The foundation of this performance was healthy volume growth. Our caustic soda lye volume for the year reached 84,690 metric tons, up 29.7% over FY25. In Q4 FY26, specifically, volume stood at 20,935 metric tons, up 8.72% year-on-year. This growth was driven by strong demand for our key end-user sectors: aluminum, paper, textiles, pharmaceuticals, and our ability to service this demand reliably from our expanded production capacity. Friends, on profitability, our full-year EBITDA came in at 66.38 crores, a 159% increase over FY25, and with an EBITDA growth of 16.89%, an improvement of 747 basis points year-on-year. For quarter four FY26, EBITDA was 13.72 crores at a margin of 14.03%, up 141 basis points year-on-year and 247 basis points quarter-on-quarter. The sequential improvement in quarter four margins reflects both better operational efficiency and our ongoing renewable energy integration, despite a headwind from higher grid electricity rates that came into effect from October 25. On Q4 specifically, total income was ₹97.75 crores, up 22.3% year-on-year. Chlorinated paraffin wax also contributed meaningfully to revenues during the quarter alongside the steady growth in caustic soda lye volumes. PAT for Q4 was ₹4.39 crores, up 68.64 crores over quarter four FY25. While Q3 FY26 saw elevated margins north of 20%, quarter four was partly impacted by higher power and fuel expenses owing to the grid electricity rate revision. We expect this headwind to ease meaningfully once our 21-megawatt solar plant in Rajasthan is commissioned around mid-June 26. On the balance sheet, our shareholders' funds stood at ₹242.52 crores as of March 31, up from ₹181.67 a year ago, reflecting strong earnings acceleration during the year as well as successful completion of our warrant issue, which has strengthened our equity base and financial flexibility. Total assets stood at ₹478.7 crores. The long-term debt was 96.37 crores and short-term borrowing 65.58 crores, resulting in a debt-to-equity ratio of approximately 0.67x. Capital work in progress stood at 43.85 crores, reflecting the ongoing 21 megawatt solar project and the costly solar and CPW capacity expansions. Friends, energy remains our single largest cost component and our biggest lever for long-term margin improvement. Power and fuel costs accounted for 61% of our production cost structure in financial year 25. Through the commissioning of our 15 megawatt solar plant in Bikaner and 10 megawatt hybrid wind solar group captive project in Jaisalmer, we have brought the ratio down to approximately 42% in financial year 26. This is a meaningful improvement and we are only partway through our renewable energy journey. Our 21 megawatt solar plant is expected to become operational by mid-June 26. Once commissioned, our total captive renewable capacity will be 37 megawatt plus 10 megawatt from the group captive project, taking our renewable energy share to between 40 to 45% of our total power requirements. This will further reduce our energy cost per ton, improve our EBITDA margins on a sustainable basis, and reduce our carbon footprints. We believe this positions Lord Sloro as one of the most energy-efficient caustic solar producers in India. On our CAPEX program, our total outlay of rupees 315 crores across financial year 24 to 27-28 continues on track. The first phase of rupees 150 crores covering the 90 TPD caustic soda expansion and a 16 megawatt solar plant, and also the equity infusion into 10 megawatt hybrid project has been completed, and we are now executing the second phase of our captive solar plant of 21 megawatt. The TPW capacity expansion from 50 to 100 ton per day, and the further 100 ton per day expansion of caustic soda plant. So post expansion, our total installed capacity will be 360 ton per day. Since we will be decommissioning an old 40 ton plant, otherwise the capacity would have been 400, but the resultant capacity will be 360, adding 100 and deducting 40, so it will be 360 ton per day. These projects are being funded through a mix of internal accruals and debt, keeping our balance sheet healthy and leverage at manageable levels. As I earlier mentioned, our debt equity ratio is pretty healthy. From a strategic standpoint, what we have achieved in financial year 26 is not just a strong set of numbers for a single year. It is the confirmation that our thesis of building a green, efficient and scalable chemical company is working. Our renewable energy investments are delivering measurable cost savings. Our capacity expansions are being absorbed by a healthy demand environment. Our CPW business, by converting chlorine, historically a volatile byproduct, into a value-added downstream product, is improving our product mix and providing greater stability to the overall business. And our focus on serving the North Indian market, where trade economics protect our pricing power, continues to be a structural competitive advantage. On the macro front, on the industry environment, the Indian caustic soda industry, with an annual capacity outlay of 6.4 million tons, accounting for 5 to 6% of the total global capacity, continues to grow in line with India's GDP trajectory. India has now transformed from a net importer to a net exporter of caustic soda, which reflects the competitiveness of our industry. Looking ahead to financial year 27, we are optimistic about the demand environment. Realization for caustic soda lye have shown improving trends on a quarter-on-quarter basis, supported by strong domestic demand across the key end-user sector as well as global commodities backdrop. We expect this position momentum to sustain. As we enter financial year 27, we remain focused on three clear priorities: operational excellence, energy cost reduction through our renewable initiatives, and disciplined capital allocation. The commissioning of our renewable power infrastructure over the coming months is a significant milestone that we are confident will contribute meaningfully to margin stability and long-term competitiveness. Financial year 26 marks an improvement inflection point for Lord Sloro LPL. The strong growth in revenue and profitability is the result of deliberate investments and disciplined execution over several years. We remain committed to creating long-term value for all our stakeholders. through our continued transformation into green chemical company powered by renewables. With this, I would like to thank all the investors and analysts for their continued support and engagement with the company. I'll be very happy to take questions with the remaining. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the first question from the line of Shubham from Raj Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is a bookkeeping question. I think we had some shortfall in energy from our consortium to the tune of 97 lakh units. So if you can explain the accounting for that, and if in coming quarters we receive that energy unit, so is there going to be some impact on our power expenses?
I tell you, we infused into this group captive project, of 10 megawatt wind and solar hybrid. The power was to come to us from October, and there was some grace period for, as per the power purchase agreement. They were allowed the period up to November, to supply us the power. From November onwards, they were to give us some dedicated number of units every month. Their implementation of wind project got delayed. So the solar started operating, that also in phases. But now the wind project, it is a 100 megawatt project, out of which 10 megawatt we have contributed. So the solar 100% has been completed at 100 megawatt. And then the wind now, till now, also 65 megawatt is commissioned. And by next month, the full 100 megawatt will be completed. So the projects are getting completed. This is the first year of the project. The project is getting completed over phases. So the number of committed units minus whatever they could provide to us is the number of units which is reflecting, and this is as per the share purchase agreement which we have executed with them. So now that the project has been completed, there were some issues about the battery installations, also storage batteries, now that the government has mandated that also has come on site. So I don't see now any issue remaining on the project. So this year we should see the full number of units which we were to getting from June onwards.
Okay, so the credit amount that we have done on the power expenses, so that is not reversible, right?
No, because it is as per the share purchase agreement.
Okay.
Share purchase and the power purchase agreement.
Got it. Also, a question on growth. So I think we are operating currently at 80% utilization, and our new capacities are coming online at the end of FY27. So how do you foresee growth for the next couple of quarters? Because we are already operating at, max capacity.
Okay, so you see the demand growth is around 5%. All over India, 5 to 6%. North India, I would say 4 to 5%. But this year, there is no capacity coming up in North. Our capacity which is coming up, there are only 4 plants in North of India, and we are the only one who has, who is expanding, and none of the other 3 units has announced any capacity addition for the next, say, 15 to 18 months period. So by the time we come out, because even if they announce, then they have to buy machinery, install, do everything. So I don't see any capacity coming up in the next 2 to 2.5 years, additional capacity coming up in North of India. So I don't find any problem. Rather, I think we will be in a situation where the demand will be more than what we will be producing.
Yeah, I get that, but I was asking more on the basis of quarterly growth. So because our 100 TPD caustic is coming at the end of the FY27, and same with our CPW capacity. So given that our current capacities are running at 80% utilization, so for the next couple of quarters, how are we thinking about growth?
Tell me please, complete your question.
No. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
I tell you, this quarter, the prices have been pretty good. So there has been a little shortfall in the, you know, capacity, but I think because of the war situation, but more, I see that the growth cycle taking place over the next 1 year, and we will have 80 to 85% capacity utilization, which we are forcing in the last so many years. We will make up that. So the capacity utilization at the best, you know, 85% around or so will continue to happen.
Got it. And also, in last quarter, we had announced that we are going to have sulfuric acid capacity as well. But I think we have, for some reason, you know, not going ahead with it. So what was the reason for that?
I tell you, sulfuric acid, you know, as a chemical, we had two reasons, you know, to get into sulfuric acid business. One was, you know, for per se adding a new chemical line, and the second reason was to get, you know, when you make sulfuric acid, you create a lot of heat energy, which we are wanting to use for our own, you know, products, which, because we are adding flakes also to our, you know, kitty of products. Right now, we're making caustic soda lye, but we'll be adding flaking unit also. So we are thinking of using that, you know, heat energy for that. But you see the sulfur situation all over the world, you know, for the last 9 months, 6 to 9 months has been very, very volatile, and especially our, you know, the war has started 3 months back. The sulfur position is very, very erratic. So we don't know, you know, how these situations are going to, you know, ease out. So we have deferred that for a little bit of a while so that the situation stabilizes. Right now it is not making any sense to, you know, put our, like I said in my address also that we want to do a prudent capital allocation. So it's not that we are not thinking about it. It's not that it is not on the radar. But right now, you know, it's on a back burner because of that.
Okay. Got it. And one on industry level, so we've seen that prices shot up in March, but I think they have again come back to the pre-war levels. So is it because more capacities, which was initially export-oriented because of the shutdown of many international plants, so those capacities have been shifted to domestic market, or what has happened, if you can give us a sense of last quarter and current situation?
I missed out the first two lines of your question.
So the prices of caustic, I think in March they shot up, and then again currently they are back to the pre-war level, if I'm not wrong. So
they are still much elevated than the pre-war levels. They had gone, you know, quite high. And see, anything which goes up very suddenly has to come down to a reasonable level. So it had gone up, you know, drastically up, almost 30-35% up. So it was not sustainable. You know, world finds its own, you know, way. It's like water. You know, the world finds its own balance, you know, on a long run. So within 3 months, some balance has come into the situation. But the prices are still, I would say, almost 12-15% higher.
Okay. Got it. And with regards to capacity shifting from exports to domestic, are you seeing any excess supply in the market?
No, I don't see that, you know, the capacity is shifting from export to domestic much. Europe is now, a lot of orders are coming from European markets, and the products are going that side. So there was a lull because of the freight, you know, and the ships not getting available for some time. But now the things are getting back.
Okay. Got it. That's all from our side. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Prisha Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have a couple of questions. Firstly,
yes, sure.
EBITDA margin is EBITDA margin has improved around 747 basis points year-on-year to around 16.89% in this year. But Q3 was stronger at around 20% plus growth, while Q4 came in at around 14-15%. So I just want to understand what exactly drove this sequential margin compression in Q4, you know. Was it purely because of the grid electricity rate hike in October, or were there any other factors which came into play?
Increase in rate, when you compare between Q3 and Q4, it is same because the rate revision came on 1st of October. So even the third quarter took the full impact of the price increase, and the fourth quarter also, it was the similar situation on the grid rate. But the prices had come down a little in comparison from quarter 3 to quarter 4 for caustic soda. So that is why, you know, one of our, you know, electrolyzer was shut down for the nodes, for, you know, changing of anodes and cathodes and changing of membranes. So that is why, you know, the power consumption was a little higher in the last month or so. So that is why you see a little dip in EBITDA. But I'm sure, you know, we completed a renovation, and now I think the coming quarters it should catch up.
My other question is related to the power and fuel cost, which also rose at around 165 crores this year, you know, despite our solar plant being operational this year. So I just want to get an understanding on the net saving from the renewables in this year, and what the power cost have been if without the 16 megawatt solar plant that we have installed?
See, I may not have the figures right in front of me right away. Suppose what was the solar plant was not there, what could have been my power cost? Let me just tell you that the grid rate, you know, landed to us is around 8.2 or 8.3 rupees per unit. So any addition of solar, you know, brings a lot of saving into the whole thing. Like I mentioned in the beginning that, you know, our renewable energy, you know, thing is around 15 to 20% now, which will go up to around 40% with our 21 megawatt project getting commissioned and the 10 megawatt giving us full power. So the power and fuel went up mainly because of the increase in the grid price from the last two quarters. So in total yearly, you know, kind of figure, you see a higher figure because this in 6 months there was a very, very steep increase. Our landed cost was around 7 rupees, you know, per unit of power. And they went up to 8.2, 8.3, depending on the variable charge. So it was a very steep increase of almost 15 to 18% in the power rates by the DISCOM. So that is why the figure is higher.
Okay, that answers my questions. So regarding the raw materials also, which, you know, the cost have doubled nearly. So was it driven by the volume increase at large, or are we seeing any input price inflation? And also I wanted to understand, you know, what are your key raw materials and how much pricing power do we have?
See, our key raw material other than power is salt. So salt is also, we do a yearly contract. And then there are some purification chemicals. The prices of the salt, we entered into a contract a year back. So there is no variation in the salt price, which is roughly around 11 to 12% of our total, you know, production cost. But the other chemicals and additives which we use to purify that brine, their prices have gone up by almost 20-25%, in some cases 30% also. So, but, you know, they have a 1 or 2% total, you know, cost impact on the total thing. But salt, you know, is something, the figure which you see on the higher side is because of the higher, you know, production. The cost is variable that, you know, you use a certain kind of salt for 1 ton of, say, to be very precise, 1.61 or 62 tons of salt for every ton of caustic. So that is why, you know, you see that because the production has increased, so the value of salt also has increased.
Okay, thank you, sir. Just one last question, if I may. So since we are doing a capex of around 160 crores, so 160 odd crores, so how do we expect the interest cost to look like in FY27, and what would be your current cost of debt?
Current cost of debt average is around little shy of 8%.
Our total debt cost is, I think, 7.9 or something, the total. So that is how it is going to look like. We are raising additional long-term debt of around 90 crores, in addition to what 90 crores I mentioned, which is standing in the books. But then the additional production capacity will also, you know, start kicking in. So that's how it's going to be. 8% is our, you know, cost of interest.
Thank you so much, sir. That answers my question.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ruthvi Gandhi from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, sir. So my first question is that beyond solar, are other further renewable energy investments planned beyond the current CAPEX cycle? And is there a path to 60-70% renewable energy share in the medium term?
You'll have to rephrase. You'll have to just repeat your question again. I understand that
audible?
You are asking about the renewables, but what was your precise question?
Yeah, so I'm saying that other than the solar investments, the CAPEX that we are already doing, are we planning on another CAPEX in the renewable energy sector?
We are always looking for opportunities. We are speaking to a lot of people. See, I tell you, because of the new government regulations, you know, because they have now, it is mandated that all the solar plants have to use Indian cells. Initially it was Indian panels. Now, domestically manufactured cells will also have to be used, you know, from this month onwards. So the market, you know, will take a month or two to stabilize because, you know, some productions are coming upstream. So we are also looking at this issue. We are in the middle of completing this 21 megawatt project. And once we complete that by mid-June or so, and then, you know, we'll see how the, you know, market situation is on the panels and cells. And we'll look into further opportunities. This is a very ongoing process for us. This renewable energy is, our target is to achieve the max whatever is possible under the regulations. So we will keep working on that all the time.
Got it. Also, sir, regarding the 21 megawatt solar plant that is going to be commissioned by June 2026, around that. So once that is fully commissioned, what are our target blended costs? Since the electricity rates, the grid electricity rates had increased around October 2025. So what is our current blended cost of power, renewable versus grid, and what are we targeting?
Like I said to the earlier question also, our grid rate is around 8.2 to 8.3. And the renewable component right now is around 20% of our total power, but will go up to around 40%, you know, once this 21 megawatt comes on stream, and that 10 megawatt hybrid also starts giving us full power by June end. So we'll be roughly over 40%. Of power. It'll bring substantial savings to the whole thing.
Got it. Thank you so much. That was really helpful. All the best for the future.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Mandira A from Investor. Please go ahead.
Opportunity. Couple of questions from my friend.
Mandira, I do apologize to interrupt you there, but your audio is too low. Could you please use your handset? That was...
Is it better now?
Yes, please.
So I have a couple of questions. If you could help me with, as of the few caustic solar producers in North India, how large is your effective captive market, and is there any regional capacity likely to dilute your advantage?
Your voice is coming up and down too much. If Ryan, you could hear the question fully, can you repeat it for me?
Just a second, I'll change my... is it better now?
Yeah, it seems so.
So I was asking, like, as one of the few caustic producers in North India, how large is your effective captive market, and is any regional capacity likely to dilute your freight advantages?
See, the total North market is roughly around 1600 tons per day production capacity, and we are doing 300 tons per day. So we are 20% of the total capacity, which will go up to around 26-27% next year or so. And no other capacity has been announced to come up. So I don't foresee any, for the next 2 years, any fresh capacity getting added to North India. I hope you were talking of the region, not the whole country as such.
No, only specific region.
Okay.
Secondly, with India adding 2.5 million ton of caustic soda capacity over next 3 years, how do you see the impact on domestic pricing and the risk of oversupply?
So there are two questions, within one. One is the price part, other is the glut of the supply situation. As far as when we talk of price, we call the price of chlorine and caustic put together. It's called ECU in our parlance. So we take the price combined. Right now, the chlorine price is negative in India. So these two capacities which you have just mentioned, which are going to be coming up in the next 3 years, they will be captively using the whole chlorine, thing within their own plant, because they are making downstream projects. PVC is what they are going to produce. So no chlorine is going to come into the market, only the caustic will come. So what will happen that there is a demand growth, and the capacity additions going on in the chlorine segment also. So we foresee that, if there will be any, decrease in the price of caustic, will be well compensated by the increase in the price of chlorine. So when we always take the price, of these two commodities put together. So one will offset the other, which we have seen in the past also, that whenever the chlorine prices, go down, the caustic prices go up. And then secondly, as far as the caustic soda, situation goes, these two plants are on the west coast. They have their own jetties, and there's a ready market, in Africa, in Europe, in Australia. So these units will take, the kind of benefit of their location, and they will export a lot, because India is becoming a big export hub, and these two plants are going to be world class, capacity size. So they will find opportunities for exports in a much bigger way than to come into a fragmented Indian market, especially if you talk to me sitting in North, we have a very small fragmented market, people consuming 100 tons a month, 500 tons a month, 300 tons a month. So that kind of capacities for those kind of big plants are not possible to, serve here. They would rather find bigger customers. So they will, as far as my understanding, they are looking for export opportunities more than domestic opportunities.
Got it, sir. And lastly, are customers increasingly seeking green credential or sustainability certification? And is your renewable energy-led ESG positioning providing any tangible commercial benefits?
Of course, it is. Though, as far as the sustainability things goes, we are very aware of it and we are very committed to it. So our ESG team and, our ESG consultants, we are working continuously on this. That is one. And of course, when you go for the cost of producing renewable energy is much, much lower than, getting the power from grid, which is a coal-based power. So, of course, it brings, working on the ESG path, it brings a lot of cost savings also.
Got it. That was really helpful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So, thanks everyone for participating in the earning call of Lords Chloro Alkali Limited. I hope we have been able to address most of your queries. However, if there is anything we have missed out, or you have an afterthought or to this, then you kindly reach out to our IR team, and we'll be very happy to take up that question. So, with this, I thank everyone. Thank Ryan Innosmith, and all the investors and analysts who have been there on the call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Lords Chloro-Alkali Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.